Andrew Moore is an expert on native pawpaw trees, owing to his book, Pawpaw, In Search of America's Forgotten Fruit. Now he's become fascinated with another native tree that not too many people know about, the hawthorn. He wrote about it for our website, and he's here to talk with me about what he learned.
Andy, how did you get interested in hawthorn trees?
Well, the moment it all clicked for me was on a visit to a tallgrass prairie in northern Illinois. I was with a conservationist named Susan Kleiman, and she was telling me about how butcher birds, which are the northern and loggerhead shrikes, impale their prey on the hawthorn's long, sharp thorns. They drive the bodies of their prey, these insects, snakes, and even small rodents, through the tree's thorn, and then they return to feed on these animals over time. It's a pretty wild image to think of, and it really stuck with me.
Whoa, that is intense. Are those birds relatively common?
No, they're not, or at least not around here anymore. In fact, Susan had made the decision to leave a clump of hawthorns in her otherwise open grassland specifically for the shrikes to provide the niche habitat that these birds need because they hadn't been observed in quite some time. Later, we were having lunch, and one of Kleiman's colleagues asked if we had seen the shrike that had been spotted near the hawthorns. We all know the phrase, if you build it, they will come, but I'd never known it to work so quickly in nature.
Right. But I understand this wasn't your first run-in with hawthorns.
Yeah, actually, a few months earlier, I had stumbled into the Allegheny County Natural Heritage Inventory, which is this 296-page document prepared by the Pennsylvania Natural Heritage Program. This report basically describes all of the county's most important sites of biological diversity. I was looking for information on my neighborhood's urban park, Riverview Park, in Pittsburgh's north side, which was established in 1894 and spans 291 acres. Ecologically speaking, this park is in pretty rough shape. It had once been a farm. It's been a dump site in some places, and it's filled to the brim with invasive species. And so I was actually really surprised to find in this inventory that Riverview Park was home to a population of the Pennsylvania hawthorn, or Crataegus pennsylvanica, and that this species was considered globally vulnerable.
Is it common to have a globally rare species in an urban setting like that?
Not at all. In fact, I spoke with Jessica McPherson, a botanist with the Western Pennsylvania Conservancy. That's the nonprofit conservation group that prepared the county inventory. And she told me that there are no other globally rare plant species that are predominantly in urbanized landscapes as this one is. In other words, ecologically sensitive species should not be found, much less thrive, in the heart of our post-industrial urban matrix. And yet this Pennsylvania hawthorn was doing just that, and for over a century, it's been known to occur in this park.
So you said it's globally rare. What does that mean from like a legal perspective? Is it a protected endangered species?
Technically, no. It's not listed as an endangered species by Pennsylvania or the federal government. And so there are no protections afforded this species. Its globally rare status is something that's been determined by NatureServe, which is an organization that compiles data from botanists and natural heritage programs from around the nation. And what this data tells us about the Pennsylvania hawthorn is that, yes, it's globally rare, but we still don't have a lot of good information about it.
Okay, so why don't we know more about it?
Well, at the moment, you could count on the fingers of one hand the number of people who spend any time studying this native species. Until I came across that document, I had no idea that Crataegus pennsylvanica existed, and I think it's fair to say that most Pittsburghers don't either.
I've never heard of it.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And the reason for that is twofold. First of all, there's an unfortunate bias against hawthorns due to their thorns, and I think this has prevented more folks from embracing this tree. Pun intended. But the main reason is this. Crataegus is an extremely difficult genus for folks to identify down to the species. There are numerous species, they often hybridize, and so in order to even make an attempt at identification, you need to see not just leaves and bark, but also the flowers, and you need to have a really good eye for noticing subtle differences, and sometimes you need to find the fruit too, which obviously occur at different times of the year.
Can you just say a little bit about what the tree looks like?
The Pennsylvania hawthorn is a tall, very tree-like hawthorn, larger and statelier than many other haws, with large leaves and large bright red fruits. It was known to have occurred naturally in just a few states from Delaware through Pennsylvania and west to Ohio and West Virginia, as well as some parts of southern Ontario.
So you learned that the Pennsylvania hawthorn existed, and you learned it was supposed to occur in your local park. What did you do next?
I went into the park at flowering time. I took pictures, and like any other good citizen scientist, I eventually uploaded those pictures to iNaturalist, which is an online network of people sharing observations of biodiversity. And I waited for someone to identify the species. And I kept waiting. And then, like any good reporter, unsatisfied with this lack of an answer, I reached out to an expert. And on iNaturalist, that meant looking for the person who had identified Cretigus pennsylvanica the most. That person is Marc Aurel Vallée, a doctoral student at the University of Montreal who is conducting his PhD research on the taxonomy and evolution of Cretigus. I was soon in touch with his advisor, Etienne Lavelle-Barret, and another of his students, Etienne Lacroix-Carignan, and I invited all three of them to come to Pittsburgh to help us document our local hawthorn species and to lead a hawthorn identification workshop.
So did you find a fair amount of Pennsylvania hawthorns?
We sure did. I took the team to sites I'd scouted over the past several weeks leading up to their visit. I had been concentrating my exploration on undeveloped hillsides in the general vicinity of Riverview Park, and just about everywhere I found hawthorns. One of the more exciting places for me was this undeveloped hillside not far from my home that's hemmed in by a cloverleaf interchange of highway off-ramps. I'd seen some flowering hawthorns driving on that road one day that resembled to my untrained eye Pennsylvania hawthorn, and so that was the first place I took them. And here's what I found with Etienne Lacroix-Carignan.
So this does look like Pennsylvanica?
Yes, it absolutely is. It's a little bit less hairy than the ones we saw back in Ontario, but yeah, it has a typical look of it.
And we're just standing right here on the side of a highway off-ramp.
Yeah, you can probably hear the car, yes. Yeah, typical hawthorn habitat, like disturbed grounds with a lot of sunlight. So with these slopes, the species like these. Mm-hmm.
And how exactly does he tell the Pennsylvania hawthorn from the others?
That's a great question. And again, it's this differentiation that has troubled botanists for so many years, and which has led so many to not even try. They are larger trees with large, relatively hairy leaves. And after a few days with the botanist, I was able to pick up on some of the more subtle details. Here again is Etienne Lacroix-Carignan explaining the most important defining characteristics.
The anthers, these are the little receptacles of the pollen, basically. The color of these is very important to tell apart different species of hawthorn. In the case of Pennsylvania hawthorn, these anthers are like the palest pink, basically. And as soon as the anthers open up, well, they basically shrivel up and lose their color. So you have to really check them right as the flower open, or ideally even in flower buds. So yeah, the other species in this group have their anthers like cream or white, like without this slight tinge of pink.
So what's happening today to preserve this species?
Well, at the moment, we're not doing anything to conserve the Pennsylvania hawthorn. And looking back for the longest time, it seemed as if this species didn't need any special treatment. The population in Riverview Park has persisted for more than 100 years. But as I wrote in my piece, that doesn't mean they're indestructible. And we still have a lot of questions. We don't know if there is enough regeneration to ensure that this globally rare species will continue to persist in our parks. We don't know if the combined pressures of invasive species and deer eating the plants will limit the viability of new Pennsylvania hawthorns to persist. I also think we need to review our conservation practices in these parks. Riverview is prone to landslides, or slips as they're sometimes called, and contractors hired by the city recently reclaimed one of those hillsides by planting trees, half of which were non-native species and none of which were the Pennsylvania hawthorn. Historically, early successional species like the Pennsylvanica would have found their niche in these landslides. Ostensibly, these disturbances are part of the reason Pennsylvania hawthorn occurs in such abundance here. But now these slips are just another piece of land where they've been excluded.
So what happens next?
100 years ago, there was a groundswell of interest in hawthorns, at least in terms of a handful of talented botanists who were looking at them. And now I'm hoping that this kind of curiosity about the plants returns and that it's sustained not just by botanists and ecologists, but by the rest of us, those of us who live side by side with this diversity, whether we know it or not.
Well, thank you so much, Andy.
Thanks for having me.
Andrew Moore is the author of Pawpaw, In Search of America's Forgotten Fruit, and the forthcoming The Beasts of the East, The Fall and Rise of America's Eastern Wilderness, out in June. You can read his story about Pennsylvania hawthorns at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.